Praise God. It's an honor to be here. Praise the Lord. It was a good drive. Don't remember it, but it's a good drive. Yeah, to me, you drive enough. If you don't remember to drive, it's been a good drive, you know? Amen? You know? Hallelujah. Praise God. I was kind of on autopilot. And there's times I'm hoping that there's going to come a car where you can just, I know that there's a, I think it was true, unless it was just commercial, just to, not back to the future, but about, ahead to the future, where a car can park itself. Is that true? Okay. And so I'm hoping, I just want to, you know, the presence of God was so strong on the way down. I'm just, oh God, I wish I could just put this on autopilot and just soak, you know, and just, you know. And I do, I'm hoping that they're going to make a car that will do that, you know, amen? Yeah. So, praise God, and you can get more time in with the Lord, and amen? Yeah. A lot of times I come down here, I don't have an agenda. I do that on purpose because I want God's agenda. Amen. And sometimes I may just stand up here a little bit until I get a word or two, and then all of a sudden I'll dive into it, amen? Just let me get a good look at you guys. Amen. A lot of good testimonies. It's a blessing when the arm doesn't hurt, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good. That is so good. Anybody that's been in a lot of pain before, you know, it's just like, oh God, you know, when you're excruciating pain where you just really literally want to cut your arm off, and I've been there. I've wanted to cut my leg off before, my big toe, you know, and it's just, I don't know if you've ever been down south, you get a poison thorn in your finger, man, I'm telling you, that thing starts heating up, and it's just like, just cut the finger off, you know, it hurts so bad, and so, you know, it comes to a point that, you know, it's we need to come to a place where we just expect God to heal. We just expect it. And knowing that his true nature is that, you know, when he said, you know, the Spirit of the Lord was there present to heal. And, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is in you, present all the time. Amen. And I think what happens a lot of times, what stops his flow is fear, like with Carl, just that fear of inadequacy. And you press through that, and you saw what happened, and that's just not for Carlin. And we got to understand that healing isn't for us; it's for the person that needs healing. Yeah. Amen. And our heart needs to be is that when we see someone in pain, that it affects us. And God's heart will move us to compassion. See, Jesus just didn't go and heal. When he had compassion, he healed. You know, you look at it, he walked by that cripple that his disciples later on healed. You know, silver and gold I have none, but this is what I have. You know, arise in the name of Jesus. And see, Jesus had passed by that guy many times. You know, and but we got to understand that to have the heart of God is what we're after. Just the heart of God. It has nothing, can I tell you, it has nothing to do with us. See, he's giving you a free gift, righteousness. You're in right standing with God. You have total access. Just like Jesus has access, you have total rights. Amen? Absolutely. Satan says, no, you don't, but you do. We have absolute total rights. And I think, you know, the right breastplate of righteousness. I think, you know, the breastplate of righteousness is so important in our walk because that is what we have to stand in. What Jesus did for us and what Jesus wants to do through us. It's very simple. See, when I was in the business world, I got so sick and tired of arrogance. You know, I would see people memorize words just so they can make people look stupid and to gain an advantage, and people willing their intellects over someone else just to lord. I mean, that's pride. Lord, it over. And as I thought about it over the years, is that I had a tendency that I could move that way, especially if someone ticked me off. You know, I say, okay, you know, you mess with me, we'll take the gloves off then, you know. But I fought to be in simplicity with the gospel. I fought to have a fought against having a 3-point sermon. You know what I'm saying? Did Jesus ever have very many points in his sermons? I don't think so, Tim. See, we've allowed the intellectualness or intellectualism to affect us, what we expect. We've allowed it to affect the church. See, it's good to go to Bible school to study to show yourself approved. It's really good to be there. It's good to learn. But somewhere in the process is that they forgot about the gift. And they began to look at men and women's intellect more than the gift. They developed the intellect rather than the gift. Jesus was very simple, wasn't he? I mean, he had a basic message about the kingdom, and he demonstrated. You know, the Word of God is precious. I love it. But that Word of God is there to transform our thinking so we can be like Jesus. It isn't there. You know, it's just like people, we want the Word. They want more intellectual knowledge. See, intellectual knowledge will stimulate your soul. Instead of preaching, Holy Ghost preaching, you know, the Holy Ghost, you know, on pilot, you know, autopilot, will produce and it will strengthen the spirit man. Do you come here to have your intellect stirred? Or do you want your spirit man built up? What are you after? What are we after? We're after Him, right? We're in a love relationship with Him. We want to be like Him, but we also want to have Him show Himself strong through us. We want Him to get all the glory, right? What are we after? You know, I just hear, what are we after? When we come to church, what are you after? Are you after a good program for your kids? Are you after Jesus? Amen? What are you after? So many churches and so many people, they call up and they say, what do you got for me? Now, there's nothing wrong with having a powerful children's ministry, but it better be Holy Spirit filled. Right. Not intellectualism. Not preaching a dead religion. A form of religion without the power. See, God is after us. He wants to manifest Himself in us. It's for the whole world to see. He needs somebody. Will you allow your body to be His vessel? There came a time, and I, you know, this has been one of the harder years of my life. That's kind of hard to believe, but it's been one of the harder years of my life this last year. It's been terrible. It's just been just brutal. It has. I'm through it now, I believe. But, you know, I didn't talk about it in the middle of it. You know, I try not to talk about the battle, you know. Because I don't want to give Satan a foothold in me. I don't want to give him advantage over me. Amen? I put on my game face. Even though I'm saying to my heart, God, I don't know if I'm going to make it. God, you know, and I don't let that come out my mouth. There was times I didn't know if I was going to make it this time. I'm serious. Can I tell you, there was times in the ministry that I could care less if my church went down. Oh, how could that happen? Simple. When attacks come at you from every way, which, you know, every way but loose, you know, and it's one thing right after another. It's bang, 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 bang. You do good the first month, you do good the second month, you do good the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh month, but then pretty soon it's like, God, enough. You know, I don't know what to do anymore. I've come to my end. And I think maybe that's what God was coming to. See, every season we got to come to an end. And those endings are pretty hard sometimes. Because in order to get to the next season, there has to be a dying before you can be planted and produce again. But many people try to hang on to the bitter end. I don't know why I'm over on this side this time. I'll try to. One guy goes, you know, I used to, he felt the spirit of rejection come upon him because I was always over to the left. I said, well, why didn't you just sit in the left and you'd be okay? You know, oh, hello, that was really brilliant, wasn't it? But I'll try to give you guys some love, too, okay? How you doing, bud? But, yeah, what? No, well, now be careful. Be careful. We all have our insecurities, guys. Amen? I do anyway. Right? Am I totally secure? No. I'm on my way, though. Amen. You know, have I arrived yet? When I see Jesus face to face in a twinkling of an eye, then I'll be secure. Amen? I could say a few things to some people here that think they're totally secure, and you would be. I could produce something in you, in flesh, real quick. Amen? Amen. And there's some things I'm sure that people could say to me that produce some flesh pretty quick too. Make sure I'm drinking the right one here, so I'm not wasting it. Oh, is that my double? Is that? Well, I can't tell, guys. Oh, I can now. Okay. Praise the Lord. Don't want to waste anything. Yeah, you have to say that for next time. Well, God is looking to produce His character in us. Amen. He's looking to show Himself through us, through our eyes, through our hands. What do I have for people here today? I don't know. I just hope the presence of God, you know, if nothing intelligible comes out of my mouth here today, I just believe even the anointing of God is here to encourage you. Amen. I have that much faith in God, not in me. You know, because all I can do is, like, God, got to say something good, Lord, at least something, you know. But maybe it's just His presence that needs to be here today. And it is, you know. But maybe there needs to just be a cross-pollination. Do you know that if you really have the presence of God activated in your life and flowing in you, you can drive on a trip with someone and they'll be changed? Yeah. And you don't even have to change. You don't even have to say a thing. Right. You'll just be driving and they'll start weeping. And I'll start talking about God, and they go, man, I don't know what's happening to me. And you just smile and say, I do. Right. Amen? Just the presence of you should be able to affect the atmosphere, should be able to touch people's hearts. Right. A lot of times you do better if you just keep your mouth shut. Right. Amen? Let them talk. Let them ride off from the anointing that's on your life. They go, I've never felt this way. You're just smiling. They're just riding off your anointing, but they're getting hungry. They're getting hungry for it. Do you realize that the presence that we carry, the anointing we carry, just the presence of us can break bonds, bondages? People that were once depressed, you can come into their room and go, and they'll start feeling better. Isn't that amazing? So there's no pressure on us, is there, to perform? Is there any, right? It's just relationship. It's just like on the way down here. I go, Lord, I don't even want to think about what you're going to say tonight. I don't even want to know about it. I just want to just love on you. I just want you to right now. You know, I want to be with you. I don't care about all that other stuff. You know, you'll take care of that, right? But I just want to take this time to love on you. I just want you. See, isn't that putting him first? Well, I just want you, man. You're the best. You know, the Lord says, cast your care upon him, for he careth. Well, that was a care, because I do care, okay? I care that I don't, you know, when I come down here, something, at least good's going to happen. You know, that's my heart for it, you know, but that's not my business. My business is to be with him. And then whatever he wants to do, he can do it. Amen? If I preach, that's fine. If I don't, that's fine. If we just pray, awesome. Awesome. That's my favorite thing to do. Just pray. Do we need to lay hands on people? Sometimes, but sometimes not. Sometimes the presence of God is just there, hovering. And I just sense that there's a thickness. I can't explain it, but there's a thickness here of the presence of God. And you can be picking up it right now. How many people did Jesus lay his hands on to heal? Think about it. Think about it. You know, it says that we'll lay hands on us, and you know, but they'll lay hands, but doesn't mean you have to lay hands on them all the time. A lot of times we saw the lady touch the garment. We just touch, faith contact. See, you can get healed without even coming up here. You can get touched without even coming up here. See, that there comes a time where we have to be aware of what's in this earthen vessel. Again, it's not about us. See, Jesus took care of that problem when he died for us. Amen? He took care of it. You make more out of it than he does. You really do. I'm not talking about you're sinning, you know you sin, you confess it, and he's faithful and just, forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, but then you're right again. And then it isn't about you. It isn't about how good you are, how much knowledge that you have. How intellectual you are, how unintellectual you are. Simple faith. Simple. Keep it simple. Sometimes, Pastor, I know, especially down here, there's a lot of good churches down here. You know? I mean, there's good TV churches down here, you know? Sometimes we feel a need to be cutting edge. Well, how about let's get back to the ancient paths of Jesus? This isn't Hollywood here. We're not here to perform. We're here to reform. Amen? We're called to reform this area. See, you got to understand, you don't have to, but I hope you do, understand that this church, there's a greater call to this church than what's in this church. You got to understand, is one of my better friends, he was an elder at one of the biggest AG churches, the biggest AG church in Minnesota. You know how many intercessors they had show up? Six regular intercessors out of thousands. So God will use a body like this not only to pray for this body, but to pray for the movement of the kingdom of God in this area. So you got to understand, it's bigger than this church, guys. And I'm not saying hold prayer vigils or this, but know that prayer is important. Know that you are not only affecting this church, not your body, but this church and other churches in this area. You're influencing. Who cares where they go to church as long as they go to church with where the Word of God's being preached? Because knowing full well, whatever you sow, you're going to reap it. And I think you're better off and safer if you pray for someone else's church than you do yours. Because that's totally laying down your agenda to bless someone else. Knowing full well, as you bless someone else, God's able in turn bless you. Prayer was very important to Jesus. He did it all the time. He slipped out all the time. Matter of fact, he commanded the disciples to pray so you don't fall into temptation. And I truly believe that the disciples would have prayed if they would have gotten up and they would have walked around instead of laid around. There are sometimes I wait, if I sit in a chair, I'm going to fall asleep. Presence of God can fall asleep. And it's okay falling asleep in the presence of God, but there's times where we need to be praying. And there's times where our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. And that's time when we just wake up and we just start praying and we start walking. Start walking and praying. You begin to walk and you begin to talk and you begin to walk and talk and you just continue movement. You continue walking and talking, walking and talking. Praying, okay? Walking and talking, walking and talking. There are certain disciplines that God does require of His church. He says, my church will be called a house of prayer. My church, if it is Jesus' church, it will be called a house of prayer, or will be a house of prayer in order to be called Jesus' church. That is one of the greater calls in a Christian's life, is that we come to prayer. It's a discipline. That's what a disciple is. It's someone that receives discipline or disciplines themselves. Why don't we pray more? Why? I'm not trying to cast condemnation, but if there's some slackness and there's times in my life I have to yank the slackness out of my life. I do. I'm a prayer. I love to pray. I'm a man of prayer. But there's times when prayer can grow cold in me. Right? I don't know if you've ever been there. Maybe you just don't have that problem. Amen? And you're called to prayer. Your heart wants to pray. You want to pray. But your flesh is like, Or I'll pray, but I got to do this first. Well, I'll pray and I got to do that. But I'll pray. Lord. Okay, you know what happens when that starts happening? It ain't going to happen. Right. It isn't, okay? It just isn't. Because you have to know when certain things are there to steal your focus. Right? We got to understand, but when we do pray, things go better. When we do pray things through, then we can walk out what we pray. A lot of times, the people, we have a Tuesday night prayer, and I once in a while, I had never really challenged my people. I've been out in other areas and planted Bible studies and mentorship groups and stuff like that. And I always challenged those people. So, I mean, I really was hard on them. You know, but not really. I mean, I did nothing that Jesus didn't ask his disciples to do, but some of it was hard. But I asked my people to keep a log, that they would at least pray an hour a day in the Holy Spirit. Not, well, when I go in the car, when I do this, when I... No. Sit down and focus. Give an hour to prayer. Discipline yourself in an hour of prayer. Not when you're doing... That's just extra. When you're doing dishes, when you're out there waxing the boat, or changing the oil, or, you know, that's just, let that be extra. Extra. Extra credit, whatever, you know. Extra anointing. How about it? Most people don't, you know, and I have them. I said, you know, if you want to do it, that's fine. And I want you to keep a log, and I want you to sign it. Date it and sign it. Sign who you are, you know, like in school. Put your name on, sign who you are, and then sign it that you did do it. They'll keep you from fudging if, you know. Some people will fudge. Right? I've seen it. I mean, unless they sign it. If you sign it, it's, you know, especially if you got a conviction of the Holy Spirit, it's really hard to sign that you pray when you didn't. Okay? And if guys, listen up now. And if you can sign it when you didn't do it, just come on up and sometime Pastor Josh will pray with you. Break that. Okay, because that is a flaw in your character. Okay? I'm not trying, but it can be broken. Okay? It's not right. You know? Amen? There can be demonic forces that are upon your life that will cause you to be shady. Because somebody's given a window of opportunity in your life. It might have been your parents. It might have been you. Some of you kids grew up in real strict backgrounds, and you had to lie so you could go on and do things. I grew up in a pretty strict, you know, lied. Where are you going? Where are you going? Where I told them wasn't where I was going. Yeah, I'm going down to the old so-and-so's house. We're going to smoke a doobie. Yeah, I'm going to tell my parents that. Huh? You know, you see, those are windows of opportunity that you've given Satan. And if those things are not confessed, he still has those windows. And he may not do it with pot now, but he'll do it with other things. Well, he'll never know, or she'll never know. What she doesn't know won't hurt her, and what he doesn't know won't hurt her. Him. Uh-oh. I see people trying not to smile. Okay. It's kind of like a possum in a mulberry tree, if you've ever seen that. They got this big old grin on their face. They're busted. You know? Amen? But there's certain things that need to be taken care of in our lives. Okay? Amen? You know, we're here not to condemn, but we're here to take ground back. There's no condemn. I'm not trying to, but I'm trying to take some ground back. So the truth that you do have will be stronger. Because what does darkness have to do with light? And what does light have to do with darkness? See, if you have those things in your life, that's darkness, guys. It means that Satan still has some places in your life. Not that we're all perfect, but we need to stay true to the conviction of the light that we have. That's plenty. You understand? There's certain things that you know are right and wrong. There's other things maybe God has not convicted you on yet. But it will come, you know? But you deal with, and you're faithful with that which God has convicted you on or has shown you needs to change. How many of us, you know, Holy Spirit, we do it, and Holy Spirit says, yeah. And we go, oh, yes, Lord, yeah, I know. And then we don't make a, how would I say, and this is for me, this is for everyone, we don't make a plan of escape. What happens when somebody asks you something point blank that you don't want to answer? Well, it's rude not to say something. No, just say, I'm not able to talk about it. Or I'm not at liberty to talk about it. Is that wrong? Is that being rude? No. It means that you're not going to talk about it. And rather than lie and give them an answer that they think that you think they want, you say, I'm not at liberty right now to talk about that. I want to think about that before how I answer that. Why, are you going to figure out how to lie? No, I want to answer you correctly. Amen? You know, and am I perfect? No, but my heart is to be. Okay, I want to be perfect. With the, you know what I'm saying? I want to be right with, right in my conduct with the Lord. Now, we're righteous. I'm righteous. I was righteous. I'm as righteous as I could ever be with the Lord. But I want to have my character right too. Am I there? Not yet. I want to be. I want to be so squeaky clean. I mean, you just run. Right? There's a time when I want to be able to look at Satan and say, Satan, there is nothing in me. There is nothing, that no place in me that I know of that you have. And all of us have tendencies. Some people have a tendency to lie. Some people have a tendency to pornography. Some people have a tendency to overeating. Some people have tendency to drugs. We have tendencies. And we have to figure out, instead of being in denial, we need to figure out our tendencies and begin to take it to the Lord. Lord, I want your tendency in there instead. See, the fact is that there's you know, and I heard this from someone else. I really believed it was true, and so I'm just gonna talk on it a little bit. Is that there are certain people that they say, well, they were born this or they were born that. They had a tendency to be born that way because it was in their bloodline. How can one person not have any inclination to homosexuality or lesbianism, and another one does? We all have our tendencies to where we are moved to, and those have to be brought to the Lord and be brought and changed. Whether there's windows. See, there's someone in your bloodline that had authority, might have done something that you don't know. Maybe you never heard your great-great-great-great-great-grandfather's name, but he still went to a witch and sold out his family. And we wonder, why do we have this tendency? Because Satan has been working. Satan has had a right to work. Same with sickness. A lot of times sickness is passed down through the bloodline. And not all people that are sick have sin in their life, but there are certain forms of sin that will cause certain aspects of sickness in people's lives. I'm not trying to make a doctrine, but there's certain situations. What is your tendency? You know, what are you struggling with, or what have you been struggling? Well, I haven't been struggling with anything, really. Anyway, I just hear people say, I'm just like, you know, just shut up. Anyway, you know, come on. What have you been struggling with? Loneliness can also, it can also have been gone down through the line. Can I be really? I'm just be really honest with you. I didn't watch pornography because I was excited about what was happening. I was lonely, and there was someone being intimate, and I was lacking intimacy. I was lonely. That is what. See, there's certain things that are happening in your lives that are happening because, you know, it's not the act of it, but if you really seek God, you'll find out that it's something else that's causing this. You would think someone that's really attracted to pornography is a pervert. No, not all the time. They continue to watch it, they're going to be. But there's certain things. Why are you drawn to drugs? Why is there just something, you just have a way, if you're not so careful and guarding, you just have a way to slide back in? What about being lazy? Procrastination? It's called procrastination. I don't like the word lazy, I guess. It's mean. You know, I don't like it. But procrastination. meaning well, but you just can't seem to get to it. Meaning well. You're going to do it. You wake up in the morning, it's the first thing on your list, and it's you do everything but what you're supposed to do. Anybody ever been there? I mean, I you know, there are certain things I got to fight. You know, as we take this, sometimes not trusting, women are not trusting, and there's men that don't trust women. They're pretty hard to live with. And there's women that don't trust men, and they're pretty hard to live with. What is it? Sure, there's some things that happen, but what allowed that sway to come into your life? Amen. What? Where was the opening? I remember there were certain times, and I went on a fast because there were certain things that just bothered me that I just said, God, this stuff just has to go, you know. And all of a sudden, I had this dream, and I had this dream of this guy dressed in this suit, and he had this buff. And I didn't realize that was a Danish kingsman, you know. I'm just like, what? And what the Lord was showing me, it was through a great uncle that certain things came into my bloodline that I was struggling with. And when I shut those things, it was amazing how those things quit. I quit being drawn. Those spirits of temptation didn't have the hold on me that they once had. Do you know feeling lonely all the time is a sin? It is, because it's a lie, because you're not alone. You have the Holy Spirit. You have God there. He said He'd never leave you nor forsake you, but what is that loneliness? How much pain has that loneliness caused, men and women, to go out and get the wrong partner? Or to go out and have an affair? And pick up something. Who knows? You might even pick up a kid, you know? But bless the kid, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that, but you know what I'm saying? You don't know what you're going to pick up. Especially girls are picking up a child support payment. But that happens all the time. No matter how many bathrooms have condoms in them. But what is this loneliness driving you to do? Does loneliness, you know that this is the type of person that God wants you with and has for you, but that loneliness will, you know what, you don't know if you party much, but barroom 7, you know what I'm saying, when it's midnight and you've had about, you know, 15 beers in you and a couple tequilas, you know, and the lights are down low. Nobody's ever done that, huh? You know what I'm saying? Been there, done that, right? Yeah. And so what has that loneliness, and why did you go to the bar? Did you go there to drink? No, he went there to pick up something. And what you got wasn't what you wanted. Well, right, but we're talking about loneliness. What will loneliness do? And so there's a huge temptation to be lonely. And you can be married and be lonely. I've been there. And I think it's almost worse to be married and be lonely than be single. You know, because there's always hope that someone will come along, they'll love you. There's no hope when you're married and you feel that way. But you know what I'm saying at that time? Well, I'm speaking truth here, guys. You know, I'm not, you know. I'm not, you know. And, you know, and but, you know, and there's hope in marriages. I'm not telling you that. But at that time, when your heart's hurt and you want to be just loved, you just want to be loved. And all you get is the opposite of it. What is lonely? Are you going to drown your sorrows in a bottle? See, these are the temptations that I'm talking about. These are the natural. We can be lonely. We can. I really sense that because I had to really fight for that, not to be a loner. But I really sense that came through my dad's line somewhere. And I'm called to be with people. You know, I mean, if a pastor must love people, but there's a tendency for me, if I'm not careful, just to come minister my guts out and pray and but not be with the people. But that's that spirit that's trying to tempt me. It's trying to take me out of where I'm supposed to be to where I'm not supposed to be. It's a spirit that will bring you into seclusion, or it'll cause you to hang out with the wrong people. It'll cause you to call people that you have no business calling. See, we got to understand that the people that we talk to now are forming your opinions, your mindsets for the future. See, really, what you read right now, it's going to affect your future. Who you listen to, it's going to affect your future. What you do right now will affect your future. What you don't do will affect your future. See, God is wanting to set people free from those bondages. I just really sense that I'm talking about loneliness. I'm just sensing that there's some of that here tonight in people. And what I'm saying is that thing can be broken right now as I'm speaking about. You can make a decision that thing is going to be broken right now. I just received that breaking right now. And realize that's what it is. And when it starts knocking tonight, when it produces that feeling, then you hear these voices, I'm so lonely. I just need someone to love me. You know that old song and dance, you know? Sounds like a country western song, don't it? Want somebody to love. You know, that's, I don't know who sings that, but it's a clear, I don't know. And it's like, see, we need to take those times when we're feeling that, we need to take that time and go to the Lord and allow Him to fill you up. He'll fill you up if you'll let Him. Amen? What time is it? 10 for me? Oh, it's only 10 after 6. Yeah, I got time. No, I got time. You thought you'd never hear that before. No, you got time. Nothing but time, right? Okay. Then you got anxiety. And the Lord was dealing with me in this area this last couple weeks, anxiety. I didn't think I was an anxious person. I hate fear. But I was anxious. I couldn't sleep really well. I was always busy. I always felt up underneath the gun. You know what I'm saying? Just and no matter how much I worked, how much I did, there was always this feeling like I'm leaving something undone. And I didn't look at it as fear. And it is fear. I said, God, forgive me. Because I hate fear. You know. But my mom was so fearful. She grew up in the Depression. I remember hearing stories that when they were in Luck, Wisconsin, and they had a farm, and of course she lost two dads, and then she remembered the cows out there baying because they were so hungry. You ever heard a hungry cow just bay? And they were just so hungry, and she remembered her mama. She'd just say, my mama would go up there, and she kicked the last hay down to the cows, and then she remembered the people coming and picking up the cows and this and that, and then she had to go from house to house to house to house to house to live. And she always felt that she was in the way because she was the youngest. You know, so this is where that fear came in. And I remember I would always, she'd always be, before I walk out the house, she'd always try to cast some fear on me. You know, be careful for this. I said, Mom, will you just be quiet? You're taking all the fun out of my party. You know, just don't say it. You know. And but what was happening is that Satan was putting anxiety on me. And I wasn't casting my care upon the Lord. I wasn't casting my care on him. And I wasn't keeping it up there. I was trying to, and of course, you know, we need to confess the word, we need to declare, we need to do what we know to do. Having done all what? Stand. Okay. And stand in total perfect peace, knowing that God is God. Be still and know that I'm God. And I wasn't doing that. It was just like, God, you got to do this. God, you got to do it. Man, what happens if da da da? Anybody ever suffer with that? And it just, it's there to wear you out. And it's there to pull you out of a place of faith into a place of doubt and unbelief. Because anxiety is really doubt and unbelief. That's really what it is. Because if I really had faith that God heard me, what would I have to worry about? You know? I'm like, oh boy. I'm so thankful for that though. You know? So I have home racing pigeons, and so I'd be going out, and I love being out there with my birds, and my bird brain. Anyway, but love being out there with my birds, and I'd go on out there, and I'd feel this minute I'd step out the door, I'd feel this thing just jump on my chest. I could hardly breathe, and there'd be just all this pressure, and I just dread, you know. And it wouldn't happen until I'd step out there, and so I knew that was just a spirit of anxiety trying to jump on me, just wear me out. Anybody ever suffer with it? It just jumps on. And these are those things that you need to really take care of. By taking care is by getting yourself seated that, you know, you're as righteous as Jesus is. You know, if God heard the Father, God heard Jesus, he's going to hear you. Right? And you get into that place of knowing that God does hear and God is going to move mountains for you. He's going to do whatever it takes to get done what needs to get done. And then you cast your care and you keep it up there. You know, we've heard many sermons. That was one of Kenneth Hagin's favorite sermons, casting your care. I'm glad it was, you know, because it's a continuous thing of making sure, taking inventory that your cares are where they're supposed to be. You're not a burden bearer. Did you realize that? Jesus is. Cast your care upon me because I careth for you. It means that what he's saying is I can handle it. And I do care for you, so I'm going to take care of it. But you just come and you just rest with me. See, there's no rest, there's no peace, there's no, you can't even really sense the love of God when anxiety's on you. It's suffocating. It's there to kill you. It's there. See, many times that we know that I'm sure you've heard they've had enough on TV is that I think it's like 80% of sickness is caused by stress. Anxiety causes stress. You're stressing out. I'm stressing out. You know how they say, I'm just stressing out. A Christian shouldn't be saying that. And I'm not trying to put you under condemnation, but I'm saying we have to resist these things. And getting back to what I was struggling with, which I hated fear, so it was a lot harder for me to come to a place of realizing and admitting that was fear, because I hated it so bad. You know, I saw what it did in my mom. I remember my dad, and we grew up in Lionel Lakes, and there was a time in Lionel Lakes where you could buy land for $50 an acre. And my dad was going to buy 100 acres in prime time. I mean, just prime time. And my mom hyperventilated so bad he had to back out of the deal. It would have changed. It would have changed what and my parents were givers. It would have changed what they gave. It would have changed my life. It would have, you know what I'm saying? It would have things would have been so much different. But what we allowed these things, these tendencies, to stop us. I call them faith blockers, you know. We need to come and take an approach, an aggressive approach at these things in our lives. Because you are called to live a peaceful life. Amen? Whew. peace. didn't he didn't he say, I leave you? What did he leave you? His peace. So it must be a pretty precious commodity, huh? He says, be a good cheer. I've overcome the world. I leave you my peace. I left it to you. It's there for you. And we know that whosoever eyes are fixed upon the Lord are kept in perfect peace. That's why it says to think on these things, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, whatever is praise. Think on these things. Why? Because they'll keep you in peace. They'll keep you in joy. When you think about good things, you feel good. When you start thinking about bad things, you feel bad. Pretty simple, right? When you hear those voices coming up and you feel that, you know, that fight in you, take authority over it. When you start, see how I, in a lot of people, anybody ever have anger issues in here?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. A lot of times, I had to think about this, meditate. I think I heard it somewhere, but I believe it to be true. When you get fear or get mad, what are you afraid of? Huh? Afraid, right? When you get mad, there's something you're afraid of. That's the first thing we need to ask. What is it that I'm afraid of? Let's locate the root. Let's get it taken care of. Anger. See, angry and sin not, okay? Anger is letting you know that there's something wrong. Maybe there's something wrong that needs to be fixed, and maybe there's something wrong that needs to be taken care of. That's why when you've been violated, there's anger issues. Anger is the fruit a lot of times. You know? And of course we go to psychology and they teach you how, you know, the seven steps to, you know, how to overcome anger. I got one. Jesus, right? You know, I'm not trying to make it simple, because sometimes a psychologist has a way of allowing you to talk some things out and to reveal some tendencies, but it cannot cure you. It can only reveal some things to you. Jesus is the only thing that can cure you. There's a place for Christian counseling, a place. It is not there to take the place of Jesus. It's a tool. When we do deliverance, it's a tool. The deliverance thing that we do, it's a tool. It isn't there to take the place of the Holy Spirit or Jesus. But many of us, we've come into a place to where we replaced Jesus, or we allow something to take the place of Jesus. Right? You know, Jesus is a transformational type guy. Amen? And if you're in a church that isn't challenging you in these areas, how can transformation take place unless it's first challenged? Jesus wasn't trying to tick the Pharisees off. He was challenging them to go into the Word, to find, just go and see if it's true. They wouldn't do that. The Bereans did, but they wouldn't. And I think I remember that over and over again. You know, we talked about that, how when the Lord showed you that revelation, that many chapters into Acts, that a lot of those Pharisees that crucified Jesus and withstood him came to know Jesus. And so there's an element of that happening. But what I'm saying is there's things in our lives that need to be confronted. Amen?
Yes.
And to be in a church that will confront you, and be in a church that will challenge you, be in a church where we want every thought, word, and deed to bring glory to God.
Amen.
Not a church that, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay. Hey, let's party. You know, let's go eat, you know. I want. Oh, I'm going to get there, but I. Anyway, I watch my own, and this is my personality. So I have to really be careful to have pot blessings. I have to schedule them on purpose. Because I want to pray all week long. I want to be in the Word all week long. Come and dump it on the people, cast out demons, pray for healing, and then go. Amen? I'm a machine now. That's what I live for. Okay? But I do know that there's an aspect of the body. You know? But when, and it would bother me when I'd see churches. And I like good coffee. I'm not saying that there's something wrong with that, but when people will sit, and I'd watch when I was assistant pastor at AG Church in Pine City, I'd watch. And the Sunday school class that was attended was the one that was by the coffee pot and the donuts. Even though the teacher that was in the sanctuary, it was good, you know? But people congregated around the coffee pot and the donuts. See, you have a gathering and a get-together for donuts. And then there's nothing, now hear me, there's nothing wrong with this. As long as the passion for the Word, the passion for praise and worship, and the passion for prayer is stronger than the passion to be around food. That's right. It's amazing people show up. They just show up when we have a pot blessing. It's like, and praise God, they're showing up. But it shouldn't be that way with the core body. I'm like, I have to bang my flesh down. You know, this is just, I'm not going to say anything. In the name of Jesus, you be quiet. Opinion. And about 15 minutes in worship, I finally have that fleshly, you know, where I want to get up and just, done away with. But we have to come to a place where we're gathering around Jesus rather than the food tray. Amen. Who said that? Did you say that, girl? He is the food tray. Amen. I heard that. He is the food tray. We'll preach on that one now. No. Amen. Man shall not live by bread alone. Right? And eating is good. Conversing is good. Being a body, loving on one another. Body ministry is great. But it can't be greater than prayer ministry. It can't be greater than the Word. It has to be in balance. It's part of it. It's a synodoshe. It's a part of the whole. But it is not the whole. Many churches, well, can we be a member if we just come after, come after and eat with you guys, and but we don't come here for praise and worship or to work? Oh, you can do that, but you're not a member, because a member wouldn't do that. Amen. See, these are things that I believe that your heart is with me in this, but sometimes we just need to get the perspective in order, right? We just need to have some things in order. Amen? As I'm saying, church picnics are great, but they can't take precedence over prayer, over the Word. People say, well, we're just playing, you know, I hear, you know, these people, well, we're just playing church. And I'll ask them, I say, well, how much time are you praying? How much time do you spend in the Word? They can't tell you. Or they say, well, we're in the Word all the time. Well, what did you read? Where did you read today? Well, in the Bible. I'm like, really? There comes a time if you really want to be a disciple of Christ. We have to set some things in order. When you live a disciplined life, it means that you have things in order. Right? Now, Satan wants you in disarray, disorder. But when you're in order, it means that you're in working order. It means that you are functional. There's many people here. I'm just saying, not, maybe not many, but there's some people here that probably have very creative minds, but they live, their life is in disarray. And they can't, that gift cannot operate correctly in them because they're just in confusion all the time. See, there's many people out here that, and we can call ADD, attention deficit. Right? We can start things. We start things with momentum. But it's not how we start things, guys, but how do we finish things is what bears the fruit. You have to finish it in order to bear. You know, and that's self-discipline. Amen? It's the fruit of the Spirit. I have to. There's certain days I got to fight to do what God's told me to do, even though it's not that hard. It's like, God, what's resisting? Satan. Right? See, we're like with Deuteronomy 28. You know, it's those that obey His commands and obey His voice. You know, and we are in covenant with Jesus because of what He did on the cross for us, but we still have to obey the voice of God. Because He'll tell us to do certain things, to lead you in certain places where the prosperity is, where the blessings are. But if you disobey those and just say, well, I'm in covenant with Him, I can do anything I want, I'm just in covenant with Him. Isn't that foolish? So we don't come in a legalistic way that I have to be perfect. I have to obey every command. I have to be perfect because we are made perfect. We're made righteous. It's a free gift. But we still need to obey the voice of God. I have to obey the voice of God. I have disobeyed the voice of God. This last year, I have disobeyed the voice of God in not taking it serious enough. I took it lightly. I recognized it was a voice of God, but I didn't give it precedence. Didn't mean to. I was going to do it, but I missed. I missed the opportunity. Right? So if you tell your kid to do this, many times we would spank our kids for disobedience, and still we do the same things that our kids do, just in a different way. See, we want to have our kids follow, and we'll use that verse. The children obey your parents. You need to read around that verse. There's a lot more to it than just children obey your parents. There's blessings in every promise. There's blessings in every order that He gives you. He wants to lavish you with good things. Like a good parent. I see you guys. You guys are good parents. I just sense that. Look at you guys. I just know you love your kids and you want the very best for them. But how much more does God want for you? And you want to bless your kids, but if they're in disobedience to your orders, they force you not to be able to release blessings to them. So instead of releasing blessings to them and being tight with them, you have to bring discipline to them. But we're the same way, guys. Okay, we this is human nature. We seem that when we get a certain age, well, nobody can tell us what to do. Really, that's not going to get you very far. See, God is above and beyond. You know, we hear these verses quoted and it sounds good and this, but he really is above and beyond what you can even think. Pray, ask. He wants more for you. Matter of fact, he believes in you. And he believes that he can take you to a level that you don't think that you can get to. But he believes, and it comes to a place, are you going to believe it? Are you going to believe that God is big enough, smart enough, has enough people in the right places? See, God has put favor upon you in people's hearts that you don't even know the favor's there yet. But it's there waiting to be released. So don't get weary. I just sense that you're not, but don't get weary. I just really believe that's the Lord. But God is that type of God. He is that type of Father. Amen. It just seems like everywhere, it just here to pull down blessing blockers. And a lot of times we're the blessing blocker. Amen? Amen. 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 Doesn't he have a nice head? Bless him. Bless him. There's a reason I did that, okay? Amen? I just didn't want to, it wasn't for good luck or anything like that. I rubbed your head. Yeah, amen. Amen. The Lord was just showing me the brilliance that's in your mind and the ideas that are there. And just the understanding that God is wanting to release. Amen? Praise God. I don't care what type of economy we have. You know, we've heard this preaching, but it's true. God is our source. God's our source. Not man. If God can create legs, heal. We've seen it healed. Last Sunday, we had a lady get out of a wheelchair. It doesn't, you know, if God can do these things, can he produce money?
Yes.
Can he make money?
Yes.
Is it legal for him to make money?
Yes.
Yes, it is. It's legal. It's, yeah, amen. And God the source. They want to take that off from there, but still on there. You know, and he laughs. He goes, is there anything too hard for God? I'm telling you, there isn't. There is not. Nothing too hard for God. Matter of fact, he likes the hard stuff. He just kind of waits for it. He loves it. The hard stuff. Because he knows the hard stuff brings you to him. Amen? Loves the hard stuff. Amen? Ah, praise the Lord. Well, Pastor, I don't know what to do. I can just keep walking and things will keep coming out, but... I mean, it won't shut down if you shut me down, or I shut myself down. But, you know, I just sense it. It's a really nice presence of God in here. Amen? It's good. It's good. Isn't it good? You know, it was here when I got here. Praise God. It's refreshing. As you breathe, I just felt refreshed. You're tired, just start breathing. Amen? God's good. Man. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Woo, Shabba. Shekete rebo simiate. Hey, hey. Halabasisiate riamasisiate bosisia. Ha ha. Hallelujah. You know, God's not put off with your limitations. He's bigger than your limitations, guys. They don't bother him. The Lord would say, quit looking at the limitations. Quit looking at them. Just throw them out. Because they'll steal. They'll steal your creativity. Just toss them out. It's not a problem with what the Lord's saying. It's not a problem, okay? So if it's not a problem with him, it should be a problem with you. Correct. Amen? There's certain areas you just need to get off yourself. Just let God have his way. Amen? I just feel God's love for you. I mean, you know, he loves everyone here, but there's just sometimes, you know, we just knows when we need a pumping up, you know? Amen? God is a God of increase. And we've heard this preached, I hope you have heard it preached over and over and over. You know, God is a God of increase. He wants to increase you. And he wants to increase. Matter of fact, it confirms his covenant with you when he can bless you. Bless away. That should be our Lord, bless away. Knock yourself out. Right? Oh, if you want to do it, well, just go do it. Right? He said, no, I don't deserve that. No. He's looking at you, just shut up. Just receive it. I want to give it to you. No. Yeah, I want to give it to you. I want you to have it. Is that something? You know, I don't know why I keep saying, I know you've heard that. I don't want to be redundant, but there's just sometimes you just need to hear it over and over and over. Again, that God wants to increase you. God wants to multiply you. God has higher expectations for you than you do yourself. And I'm not talking about pressure, because you can't do it. You can only cooperate. Amen? Amen. I agree. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't this cool? This guy made me that. You know what? That's my dad's jacket. Is that something? I wasn't. You know, what really bothered me is I couldn't. Because it's the only thing I got from my dad. You know, had. You know, had every, you know, I had, we had horses together, and they sold everything out for me. That's the only thing I had was left me with a leather jacket. I wasn't real happy about it at the time, but then it came. And the point is, my shoulders were too big. My dad was a good sized guy, but my shoulders were too big. I couldn't fit the jacket. I'm like, God, I want to be able to wear that. I want to be able to carry it. And he just gave me an idea to have Bible covers made into the jacket. So I got a couple more. But you know, this thing is like 70 years old. You know, it's just cool, isn't it neat? My dad was a man of God. He really was. He limited God. He really did. You know, he said this, oh, bless his dear heart. You know, but he had enough guts to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, get thrown out of Baptist church and everything. You know, he was a deacon there. And praise God for them. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, but he'd say, yeah, I spoke in tongues a couple words, and that's good enough for me. And I'm like, oh, Daddy, he died before I became a preacher. Otherwise, I would have grabbed a hold of him and yanked the slack out of him in love. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I remember, man, he would just come. I remember one day I was sitting on my mom's piano. He just came, and he just laid his hands on me, and there was just it just melted me. I'm like, God, I don't know what's going on. And I was hard. I was so hard. And there was just, he just touched me. I just melted. And he didn't even understand what he had. The anointing that was upon his life. He didn't understand, I'm sure, that when he was touching me, that was being melted. He didn't understand that he was imparting to me. You know? He didn't understand. He limited God. He's a good man. I never saw him flirt with, and I was with him all the time, I never saw him flirt with a woman. I saw him. I remember even people that were liars would say, ask Ivan Carlson because he doesn't lie. You know, when you got dishonest people wanting, you know. But my dad was, you know what I'm saying? But he limited God. He was a tither. Man, I could still remember him writing out his bills, and the first thing he'd write out his tithe check. The first thing. I remember those things. You know? But he limited God. What a shame. Now, in my heart is I don't limit God in my own life by my own insufficiencies. I don't want you to either limit God. I don't want it. I think it's, is it the army be all you can be? I want to be the army of the Lord saying it. Be all you can be. Be all you can be. Or let God move freely in you. I know when I come and I preach, I say, oh God, let be not I that live, but you that liveth. I know that's a coined phrase, but it's the word. It was where Paul was. It's where I want to be. Lord, not I that live, but you that liveth in me. Let it be you that speaks through me. Let it be you that touches people through me. Let my words be guided by you. Let my thoughts, or your thoughts be my thoughts, your ways my ways, your words my words. Lord, I don't want to go up there if it's going to be me. Amen? I want you. I want you to function through me, even if you get me in trouble. He does sometimes, you know. He was in trouble too with the Pharisees. Just find a way of saying something I probably shouldn't say, but it's the Lord at times. And if there's anything that doesn't come out right, it's me. But the Lord's perfect, okay? So if I said, just blame me. You know, blame God. But our heart should be that way. That, Lord, you just function through me. We have our own personalities and stuff like that, but you function through me. Be free to move about. It's kind of like the airplane. Free to move about, you know? But free to move about in my life wherever you need me to be. Whatever you need to say. You know that song, you know, Lord, let me be your hands and feet. I don't know how else it goes, you know. But as instead of being, a lot of times people be a do-do-doers, you know what I'm saying? But we need to be being led and do. You understand what I'm saying? We can't go on out in the flesh and do these things, but we certainly need to be led and go on out in the Spirit and do these things. Sometimes God will have you do more than what you planned, and sometimes He'll have you do less than what you planned. Amen? Has everything to do with being Spirit-led. I remember, you know, there was a time, and this is how these things work down, And there was a time when my I couldn't get a car. Every car that I bought, it broke. I mean, it was broken all the time. I don't know if everybody had been there, but I mean, my vehicles were broken all the time. It was just terrible. I mean, it's just like every day I wonder what's going to go wrong today, you know? And I remember my dad would, he would have to, you know, because our, at times we couldn't afford a phone, so he'd drive 60 miles and just show up on real cold days to make, he knew that my vehicles weren't starting, so he'd just show up and start the vehicles for me. But I remember when he passed away, I remember his anointing falling on me. And my vehicles were blessed. There was just things that I was able to receive his blessings. There were blessings that came down, and there's blessings from Father God that he wants to allow to go down the bloodline, his bloodline, to you. Amen. He's wanting to release himself in you. His ability in you. And you know how this is hard to, this is really hard to believe. Okay, I mean it's you know, wrap your brain around this if you can. But I'm just hearing him say is that just like you want your son to be better than you, oh God. Oh God, that is his heart for us. I don't know, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's a mind blower. Where do you think that came from? Oh, is it okay? Yeah, yeah. And he's wanting to come back on you. He's wanting you to practice what you preach from Papa. Okay? Is that something? See, God hears you, didn't he? That's why I looked at him just like, I'm trying to wrap your brain around this one. You know? Whew. Is it, praise God. God is so cool in a real respectful sense. He's great. He's awesome. Meditate on that one there, brother. Wrap your brain around that one. Yeah. Try. Meditate on it. You know what I'm saying? Just meditating it and allowing the greatness of, that God wants to release to you. Amen. I'm strong in the Lord. And the power is might. I'm mighty in the Lord. Yeah. So what? You know, being so what? Who thinks it? No, I'm just teasing. Don't stand up. But we need to be declaring that we're strong. Yes. Didn't he say, let the weak say I'm strong?
Yes.
Why? Of course, we know the simple principle of calling those things that are not as though they are. Let the poor say, I'm what?
Rich.
You're what?
Rich.
You're what?
Rich.
You need to be getting up in the morning and say, I'm rich.
Yeah.
My barns are overflowing.
Amen.
My vats are overflowing.
Right.
My anointing is overflowing.
Yeah.
The spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control is strong in my life. The gifts of healing are strong in my life. The working of miracles is strong in my life. Faith is strong. My faith is strong. My faith is strong. I'm strong. How about you?
I'm strong.
You're strong.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm strong. That is true. Well, how else? Don't limit it with the religious, you know what I'm saying? Because, well, in Christ I can do it. I'm strong. In Him I can do it, but you still got to do it.
Amen.
You start talking to yourself. You start declaring it before all the demons that are waiting for you to get up, to jump on you. You know? My marriage is strong. My joy is strong. My peace is strong. I'm strong. My faith is strong. My love is strong. My peace is strong. It's strong. This guy's crazy. Yeah. Hallelujah. We need to be getting bold in our confession. I remember good old Smithy Wigglesworth. He'd get up and that would be his ritual, dancing and praising God for 20 minutes. I'm strong. Instead of saying I don't have, you should be saying I'm rich. If you're dumb, start confessing that you're wise and read Proverbs. Right? You don't have to remain dumb. You don't have to remain in the dark. Get the word in you. The entrance of the word bringeth light. I have good news. You don't have to remain the same. Good news. It's good news. What do we have to worry about? We've heard that, oh my gosh, that taught, you know, the sparrows and this and that, and how much more does he care? He really does. He really meant that when he did, you know, we hear that, you know, preach inside, outside, all sides, all over the place, but very seldom is it walked out. Very seldom is it connected to cast your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. It tells us about how much God cares about, but how do we let him to, how do we let him care about it? We cast it. How many of us are in the morning are you going to cast your care? When you feel that anxiety coming on you, are you being feeling overwhelmed? What are you going to do? You're going to grab a hold of it and you're going to cast that on the Lord, aren't you? And just because you cast your care on your Lord doesn't mean you quit working. But work in peace. Right? Work, but in peace. Don't work because you're driven. Work in peace. We still got to work. We still have to carry out things, but not under the gun. I have a tendency. I remember my dad saying this, and I thought about many times. It was a time when I told my dad that I was going to marry my wife, and I told him that I was. He says, boy, you always like to start out behind the eight ball. I thought about it, and he was right. Up underneath the pressure, he saw something in me. That sometimes I'd always wait till the last minute to make a decision. Or I'd procrastinate. And then, boom, flying by the seat of my pants. You know, right? Let's not be behind the eight ball. I hate that. You know? And those are certain words. There's a word just like my mom told me one day. Because I was asking her to take me somewhere, and when she said, no, I'm not going to do it, I had a fit. She says, you know what? She says, she very seldom ever, you know, corrected. Well, you got to switch, but very seldom did she say too much in correction. But she said, you know, anytime someone says no to you, you have a fit. I never forgot that. That was another weakness in myself. My will was so strong that I wanted to do something so bad that I was... It was so strong and so driving that I would try to intimidate someone with my anger to get them to give in. Never forget, man, that thing got straightened out in me. But there are certain things in our lives like that we need to take heed to. I know I'm being a little redundant, but Lord, what is it? Has God touched you? Has God shown you guys anything that you might need to take a look at tonight? I hope that you write it down. I hope that you will take it to the Lord. And as you take it, Lord, maybe you need to write up a petition and bring it up and have pastor agree with you, or have someone agree with you on it, that that thing will be broken. Amen? Let's get these things settled. Let's get God involved. Amen? So, Pat, I'm done. Okay?